With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We've had some phone calls with, you know, with Rossi and other players and you know, our pitching coach, Tommy. That's really everybody's concern, but for me especially, I just don't want to get ramped up for an unknown date and, you know, kind of have to turn it back down. So it's a fine line of keeping the arm moving, playing some catch, doing some things, you know, not necessarily, you know, maybe getting off the mound right this second. But I think you just, once we get this date, then you can kind of, you know, I've been doing enough stuff to be able to build, and I feel like you're just kind of, you know, mentally waiting for that date, and once that date hits, it's like, okay, now I go.
That was John Lester on The Score over the weekend on Inside the Clubhouse. This is Joe Ostrowski on Sports Radio 670 The Score. Following along on Twitter, Jeff Passan and Jesse Rogers talking about this proposal from the owners to the players today, in which the highest paid players would have the most significant reduction in salary. And John Lester, guy, if you include the signing bonus, would have made $20 million this year. So under this proposal, they're saying that Lester would make just over $5 million. So this is going to be a hell of a battle over the next couple of weeks. Zahada Sharma joins me from The Athletic, now on 670 The Score, and he's on the Alpamonte Ford Hotline, Alpamonte Ford in Melrose Park. Zahada, how you doing, man?
I'm doing well. How are you doing, Joe?
Doing all right. Doing just trying to get by. Enjoyed your piece today in The Athletic. I'm going to talk about that in a quick moment. But this first proposal from the owners to the players, dropping the revenue sharing and kind of, I guess you could say, pitting the players against one another. We'll see how they react to it. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, no, I think you nailed it right there. That is I don't know if that's their exact strategy, but that's got to be part of it. I mean, once you sow some division within a union, you're going to start winning that battle. And you know, as much as everyone wants to put money to the side and say the players need to do that, I mean, it's just as much on the owners as well to be putting, if that's the suggestion, then the owners, there's an onus on the owners to put money to the side as well. I think it's the first offer, and the first offer, this is a negotiation, is never going to be the best one. So we have to put that in perspective. And I think most people who have been talking to people within baseball kind of expected the first offers to kind of seem like, okay, this is kind of ridiculous, or the players are going to come out and say this is ridiculous, and it's going to seem ugly, and it's going to seem like they're miles apart. The prevailing thought I've gotten is that eventually this will come to a place that makes sense and everybody can agree upon, but right now it's going to seem like they're miles apart.
Yeah, you'll hear a lot of yelling today about this, but I'm also stressing, relax. This is how negotiations start. I don't care what line of business you're in. You need a starting point and you need a deadline. Now, they'll never say there's a drop dead date, but in their minds, for both sides, do you think we're looking at a couple of weeks?
Yeah, I mean, I think a couple of weeks would be a little aggressive. Honestly, I think, you know, you're talking about, or conservative, I guess, depending on how you look at it. The end of this week makes a lot of sense, right? I mean, you're talking about, ideally, they'd like to open the regular season up in early July, you know, July 1st, July 4th. That means spring training needs to begin around June 10th-ish. So you're talking about trying to get this deal done by early June, you know, at the really the latest, because every single time you start pushing it, that means spring training gets pushed a little further back, and then that opening day gets pushed a little further back. So, yeah, I think, you know, there's no firm deadline, but every single, the more this is delayed, the more the plan to play 82 games, and this is, you know, this is how we're going to do the season and the playoffs, that gets altered as well. So I don't know how they're going to be able to push it much, much further past this weekend and early next week, really.
So we're well aware that the Cubs are doing everything they can to get ready for a season, even though they don't know exactly when that season's going to be here. But as far as you know, what are they doing behind the scenes? You can attack it from the players, front office, coaches, all aspects.
Yeah, I mean, obviously safety and relaying information from the league is their number one concern. But baseball-wise, they're still, you know, the coaches are like the pitching coaches having meetings with the pitching staff via Zoom. Same with the hitting coach and the position players. You're having, you know, Rossi's meeting, having Zoom meetings with the players regularly. Just whenever he has new information, he's trying not to overwhelm them with anything, but he's also not trying to contact them and not have anything new. You know, as nice as it is for someone to check in, they also just, at this point, I think majority of the players just need information and are just searching for that start date. It's kind of like what Lester was saying in that opening quote that you started with. They all need a start date. Players, athletes across all sports thrive on knowing when they're going to begin different parts of their training, right? They're creatures of habit, and not having that start date is really difficult for them. So they're waiting for that, waiting to figure out exactly how they ramp things up. I think some people are just staying in shape, but the training staff was in contact very early and figured out, you know, this is what you need. This is what you have at your house. This is what we need you to buy, or this is what we're going to send you. Here's everything you need, and here are the things we need you to work on. So that they're staying in shape. Ross is continuing his managing education, so to say, meeting with R&D and some of his coaches, Andy Green and pitching coach Shami Hadavi and other coaches, and kind of going over strategy, trying to better himself as a manager, right? He doesn't have that experience. The best thing is in-game experience. Well, when you can't do that, you kind of have to get creative, and that's what they've been doing over the past few months.
I thought what you guys wrote about Ross meeting with R&D, that was pretty interesting to me, just because we don't get to hear about that side and some names that a lot of fans haven't heard before, including a guy they call Data.
Yeah, and to be honest, R&D isn't the most talkative with anyone, right? Outside of the staff and people within the organization, they're not like scouts. They don't chat with media as much. So it's not easy to get a bunch of information on what exactly goes on with R&D. But yeah, all of those guys, Greenhouse especially, was kind of like Madden's right hand man, right? And it sounds like Chris Jones is the guy that is really giving a lot of the MLB strategy, and Chris Moore runs everything, and those three guys have been working with Ross a lot, and I agree. I find it fascinating. I think it's what I find fascinating is that Ross isn't saying I need to lean on these guys, but he's also not saying I'm dismissing what they say. He's trying to figure out how he's going to weave it all together. This is a guy with 13 years in the big leagues, knows the game. He's a catcher. He understands strategy, but he also doesn't fully understand all of it. He has, like I said, experience is the main thing, and he's got in-game experience as a player. Now he's going to apply that knowledge as a manager as well, but there's certain strategy and other things that R&D can provide. Andy Green can provide input. Yes, was he a poor manager by results? Yes. It's hard to debate that, but he's highly respected as far as a guy that understands analytics and is very strategy oriented.
A real cool anecdote in your story on The Athletic is Ross is going back and watching games that they picked out from last season, and then reviewing kind of moves he would have made or options he had. Is that how those conversations are going?
Yeah, I think what's happening is he's going back and watching a game. He's just going through it. From what I understand, he's not given, like, we're going to talk about this move, and this move. He just goes back and watches a game. The next day, they go over different moments, and they say, okay, stop the game here. We have a decision to make. Do you keep the starter in? Do you bring in this guy? Have you warmed this guy up? You know, what do you do right here? This guy just walked someone. Are you warming up a lefty? Are you warming up this guy? Whatever it is, right? And kind of go through the process, and then they share their thoughts, whether it's Andy Green, whether it's R&D. Everyone's kind of giving their thoughts. Well, okay, that makes sense. Why would you do that? Okay, well, here's what we would do, and this is why we'd do it. Here's what Joe did, and this is possibly his thought process there. And this worked this time. Percentages say this, whatever it is, right? They're going over it, and they're trying to come to various decisions. And like I said, it's really hard to recreate that. I mean, think about the pressure of it all in a game. Like, it's impossible to recreate that, but they're trying to do something. And this wasn't just occurring now, the past couple months. This was happening in the offseason. He was trying to prepare himself for being a game manager because he knew his weaknesses, experience of in-game managing. So he's trying anything he can to up that. They're really confident in his other skill sets because it's not just about in-game managing. It's just this one thing that they really have no clue how it's going to play out.
Yeah, some things that they've talked to Joe about over the last couple of seasons, it's clear. It's a few things that David Ross brings to the table. Joe Ostrowski with Sahadev Sharma from The Athletic on Sports Radio 670 The Score. Is there any way that Ross is going to be able to shake the old Theo's guy, or Theo's really making the lineup and they just kind of just email it to him and he just writes it down on the card?
Yeah, that's going to be really hard because, A, there's going to be people that push that narrative in general in the media. There's going to be people that will always suspect that. It's really hard. I mean, he's been talked about as a future manager since he arrived in Chicago as a player, right? We barely knew who this guy was in Chicago, and they started talking about him as a future manager, and now he is the manager. So it sounds like this is their hand. I mean, it is. The reality is this is their handpicked guy who they've thought highly of for a decade, right? So but that doesn't mean he's a puppet, right? That doesn't mean they installed him to do their bidding. They saw something that they felt was a weakness with the team. Now, we can debate whether that's right or wrong, whether this move is the right move or not. All I'm saying is they saw something that they felt was a weakness. They tried to get Joe to adjust. Joe adjusted in slight ways, but not to the degree they wanted him to. And that's his right. Joe succeeded for decades doing it his way. And, yeah, you make tweaks, but you also don't just completely change who you are if you really don't believe that that's what the issue is. And there was Joe admitted it, there was a philosophical difference there. And they went their separate ways, and they found a guy that they think can bring what was missing and has strengths in various other areas as well. At least that's what they believe. So now we just need to see where that goes. But there's no doubt that Ross is willing to do something that Joe just didn't see as an issue or something that he felt was going to be helpful for the team.
Say cooler heads prevail. There's an agreement. There's baseball first week of July. Is there a chance that Yu Darvish isn't with the team?
In July, you think you're suggesting like maybe he'd get traded before?
Not traded. There's just been conversations about his concerns.
Oh, like,
there would be players that wouldn't feel comfortable playing.
You know what? I haven't heard that directly from him or from outside of just random speculation of this guy. Yes, he was concerned about COVID-19 before most 99% of people in the country. I know that, right? Like, I know I wasn't concerned about it coming to America when he was talking about it. And we just weren't as aware as we should have been. And he was well aware of it. So I think it's easy to make that conclusion. But he also, I think, is very well read on the issues and what they need. And what I'm sure if he doesn't feel safe, then he won't be here. And I think that's true of any player that feels adamantly that I don't feel safe about this. I'm very uncomfortable about this. You know, maybe the idea of wanting to go play and you can still have some discomfort about it and still go and play. But, you know, I wouldn't single out Darvish outside of the fact that we know he's very aware of what's going on, and he seems to be very educated about it and been doing research on it for a while. Like, he's the type that, I mean, just take it to his pitching. You know, he's the type that goes and digs into things and tries to figure out what's wrong, right? I wrote a piece during the spring about how he noticed his four-seam fastball wasn't getting enough swing and miss. He went and dug into the pitchers that do it best, guys like Verlander and Cole, figured out what they were doing, and he adjusted. We haven't seen if that adjustment, you know, worked, but he did the research. He dug in. He knows their IV system. I think that's true about how he looks at life in general. He digs in. He tries to find the most useful information possible, and he educates himself on various topics.
So I had a last thing for you. We went from yelling about the Marquee Network and wondering when Chris Bryant is going to be traded, not if he's going to be traded. Maybe we have a year and there's no trade deadline, but let's say there is this 82-game season or 78, whatever. Is this a good or bad thing for the Cubs overall?
Yeah, I've been trying to think about that in various ways myself. I would say that because it's a veteran team, it works out a little bit better, or at least especially the pitching staff, right? You're talking about pitchers that are all on the wrong side of 30 for the most part, and a closer who really struggled last year. Now we're throwing into, like, does being older mean you need more of a traditional spring training to ramp up? Or can, you know, a shorter season actually be a benefit? There's all these different things that we need to consider. I think there may be a slight benefit for the rotation. I think pretty much position players are going to be this, you know, everybody's kind of the same there. But the idea that older pitchers know their routines, know how to get themselves ready for a season, and everybody's kind of in this odd starting point. It's not like a weird situation where Kimbrel's behind everyone and he's trying to ramp up at a crazy pace when he probably didn't need to. It's a different situation than that, although we can try and glean some knowledge from that situation. But I think veterans may benefit from this, veteran pitchers especially. But, you know, I'm kind of guessing like everyone else, because this isn't a situation any of us have ever had to face.
So out of the season ends after 82 games last year, the Cubs win the Central.
Yeah, right? So, I mean, they look at their past couple Septembers. They've been caught from behind, right? So maybe this is all they need, a shorter season.
Thanks, Sahadov. Enjoyed it.
All right, take care.
Sahadov Sharma from The Athletic. Follow him on Twitter by his name. Check out his article today on David Ross. We talked about a few of the things there.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.